Hi, here is Overball, and you listen to Extra Features.
Welcome back to another episode of Extra Features Movie Review Podcast. This is episode 216, and I'm Kevin.
I'm Simon, and I've seen lots of movies.
I'm Daniel, and I've seen less.
And this is our second internless episode.
Yeah, the intern's on a special project.
He wouldn't say.
He wouldn't tell us. We tried to get it out of him, but he would not tell us.
He's doing a cameo somewhere.
I'm busy.
I think he's on a date, would be my guess, but just a personal guess.
What's that?
I think he's dating.
Okay. I thought he was like going to see the next Madea movie.
Well, I think that's what he's doing on his date.
And he's not going to get a second one because he's taking her to see the new Madea movie.
Maybe she wants to. Maybe that was her choice.
Well.
Each his own, I guess.
Madea family funeral. Kill me now. Thanks.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen a Madea film yet. So.
I've seen two.
I honestly like Diary of a Mad Batwoman. It's melodramatic, but
I've never seen it. Okay. I've never seen the first one.
Have you guys bought anything recently?
I have not, because garage sale season doesn't start in Canada for another 2 months.
A couple weeks, I guess, right? No, once the spring comes, you got to start getting a few more, right?
Well, I still have snow looking out my window, and I'm just starting to see grass, so we'll see at the end of the week. I figure April, May, I'll probably start seeing them pop up.
You know what? I have like two giant boxes of DVDs in my storage unit that I got donated by someone.
Yes.
You should pick through it. Maybe you find some stuff.
Okay, I'll come on over now. We'll make a plan. I'll see you at the end of the month.
I'll have to dig it out when I go there for the con. Like, next week is Toronto Comic Con, so okay. I'm going to get all my stuff ready. So
I will see you at the end of the month. I'm off at the end of the month, so I'll come over.
All right.
Okay, moving along. Kevin, Captain America.
Comic Con.
Captain Marvel.
I did buy some stuff. I bought Groundhog Day. I bought Happy Death Day, the first one, which I haven't watched yet. Someone gave me A Quiet Place. I bought Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Ooh.
And I ordered some Criterion movies, which are hopefully going to arrive for me this week. I ordered Shampoo, Ghost World, Magnificent Ambersons, and Sullivan's Travels.
Some more stuff for the vault, right?
Yeah.
Nice.
All right, I guess what's our first big movie?
Ooh. Captain Marvel, starring Brie Larson, Samuel L. Jackson, Ben Mendelsohn, Jude Law, Annette Bening, Lashana Lynch, Clark Gregg, that's the easiest name, Gemma Chan, and Shimon Hunsu.
And we all saw it?
Of course.
Yeah. Did everybody see it in 3D?
I did see it in 3D. I was trying to avoid it, but I had no choice. I tried to see it in IMAX.
Mm-hmm. IMAX 2D, which is good, because I think they... color palette looks like it would be weird in 3D.
It was very dark in parts.
Yeah, I don't know. I do not like 3D at all.
Well, I don't mind 3D, and I thought the 3D was actually very good in this one, but
okay.
Some of the scenes were very dark.
Okay.
And some of the fight scenes, so you didn't quite... I'm like, who's this? Who's fighting who? I can't tell.
Oh.
And you guys heard about the controversy around this film?
No.
There's two camps. There's one that's a very, like, Brie Larson said some things that set off some dudes, and I'm using quotation mark around the dudes part.
Boys.
So, yeah, basically she was something about, like, this movie wasn't made for 40-year-old guys, white guys, and I don't know, like, maybe I think she was actually referring to A Wrinkle in Time.
yeah, something with a critic, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was A Wrinkle in Time.
But I definitely had no interest in watching Wrinkle in Time, so it definitely wasn't made for me as a 50-year-old guy.
I took my kids almost to see Wrinkle in Time, and they hated it too, Brie. So it sucked.
And wasn't she like, oh, you're not like a 13-year-old black girl? And like, neither are you, Brie.
Well,
I don't know.
I don't know. But anyway, apparently her comments have set up a number of guys who feel that they don't want us to support this movie. This movie is all feminist and social justice stuff, so they don't want to support it. And some asshole creators have stepped forward to say, like, yeah, this is what it is. It's bad for everybody, and this sucks. And the real Captain Marvel is Shazam, and don't support this movie. Even Zachary Levi had to step forward and say, dude, there's nothing going on. I want to see this movie as much as everybody else. I'm going to see Captain Marvel, and I'm in Shazam, and I don't think there's any controversy. Like, just go see what you want to see.
For females in the MCU universe, the feminists are taking over.
Oh, yeah. That's it's just silly. I mean, the whole thing is just silly. Like, I don't know. But the opposite has come forward, and I've seen some stuff on Facebook saying, basically, you can't criticize this movie unless you're a woman. That the guys have any guys that are putting forward any criticism about this movie, it's because they hate women.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't mean to laugh because I understand their perspective, but I don't know if I 100% agree because we have to review the movie, so
yeah.
and give what we thought was an opinion of it. So this is where it's going to get awkward because we're three dudes talking about
three white men. This is our hot take.
You know what? It's my show, and I'm going to say what I want. And women can review my podcast and make fun of it, because they're not – I couldn't care less. So move on.
So I saw it last night, and I knew – I had spoiled it for myself, so I knew the plot ahead of time, so I wouldn't get annoyed by certain things.
Okay.
No, I do that all the time. I read the end of the book before I finish the book.
He does.
no, I just – to me, it's the ride. It's not the destination. The destination is what I want to know right away.
Well, I like that. Anyway.
But so to me, this was a difficult movie to make because Captain Marvel, as she is in the movie, is the end point of about 50 years of history, comics history, convoluted comics history involving other characters and Carol Danvers. And Carol Danvers herself has been around since 1967. She debuted in the second Captain Marvel story, as the head of security at the army base where he had infiltrated as Dr. Walter Lawson. But he was a Kree agent that was sent to Earth to find a missing robot that got involved in a dispute with his coworker, Yon Rogg. Yon Rogg wanted to kill humans. He wasn't a very nice guy. Marvel liked the humans. He wanted to protect them, so he stood against his own people. And he became the heroic Captain Marvel. He had initially a green and white costume with a planet on his chest. And eventually he had that costume changed to become red and blue. And he got different powers. And he had something sort of like the original Captain Marvel where he put on these wristbands. And so when he clanged them together, he would change places with the Hulk's buddy, Rick Jones.
Okay.
Who had also been Captain America's sidekick for a short period of time. So, you know, the kind of introducing that whole teen turns into adult superhero thing that is part of the other Shazam storyline.
So the first female, like, main, like, starring superhero for MCU was originally a man.
Well, no, not really. So Carol was... She was the head of security. She was a very progressive female character for comics in 1967. She was respected by the military. She was in a position of authority. She was constantly questioning Lawson's credentials. She did find out that he was a Kree hero, and in the process of they formed a friendship. It wasn't necessarily a romantic relationship because Marvo was involved with a medic named Una, who was on the Kree ship, and Yon Rogg killed her to get back at Mar-Vell for betraying them.
Okay.
And so there's a giant explosion in, like, Captain Marvel 15 or 16, and that explosion fuses parts of his DNA with Carol Danvers's. So she goes into, like, basically in the issue, she's caught in the explosion, she goes to the hospital, they say she's going to be fine. She's gone until, like, 1976, when the character comes back as Ms. Marvel. So she received part of Captain Marvel's powers in the explosion. And so she becomes Captain, like, she doesn't become Captain Marvel, but she becomes Ms. Marvel.
Okay.
She has sort of the same powers, and she adopts a similar costume. She's amnesiac for a while. She doesn't remember who she is. So she's Carol Danvers. She's written a tell-all book about her time working for the Air Force and the military. J. Jonah Jameson hires her to run a magazine. And then when stuff happens around her, she transforms into Captain Marvel. Captain Marvel has different memories. It's like a split personality type of thing. Eventually that's eliminated. She becomes one. She becomes a superhero. She changes her costume to give herself more of an identity away from Marvel. And then later on she encounters Rogue from the X-Men, who steals her memory and her powers. So she's amnesiac again. She doesn't remember who she is. She hangs around the X-Mansion for a little while, goes with them into space. Her powers come back. She becomes a character named Binary, who's super powerful. She's in space for a long period of time. Then she comes back to Earth, is depowered a bit, becomes Miss Marvel. For a while, she's a character named Warbird. So she's constantly changing her name. Her powers are going up and down like yo-yo. And then in 2012, they finally decided, after other attempts to revive Captain Marvel in different characters, like he had a son and then a daughter, and then there was another Captain Marvel who's named is now named Photon, had light-based powers. It's all convoluted. It's messy. In between the original Captain Marvel's adventures, the Cosmic Cube is involved, and we're introduced to Thanos in the pages of Captain Marvel. So it's like, again, all these different elements, you know, the Skrulls are in there and so forth. So finally, 2012, Carol Danvers becomes Captain Marvel, changes, she has a costume like she has in the movie. And she's been a leading character in the Marvel Universe since. So essentially she is in charge of a space station that is there to protect the Earth from alien attacks. That's her job. It's just there. It's all there, compartmentalized. So you had to take this. I don't envy the scriptwriters, because they took all of these elements, threw them into a giant stew, and spat out what we have as the movie Captain Marvel. So they had to get to the 2012 version in a 2-hour span. So we had to get Marvel, and I won't say that, you can spoil the change there. There is a Marvel. Carol Danvers is there. She's a pilot. There's an accident. She gets powers. John Rogg is there. You know, the Supreme Intelligence of the Kree is there. Other members of the Kree are in there. There's a link between Guardians, because some of those characters are there. Yeah. Ronan and the other guy.
Yeah, Korath.
Korath. And then, you know, we've got the Skrulls, and we've got that Kree-Skrull war is going on. We've got the mother of Photon, the other captain, the 80s Captain Marvel. She is there as her best friend. So the little girl grows up to become a superhero inspired by Captain Marvel.
She does.
That's awesome. That's cool. Mm-hmm.
So again, all this stuff comes together. So as a film, I think it is okay. I think it's a solid phase one Marvel movie that introduces you to this character, their power set, where they came from, the people that they know, and a larger world. So we've expanded the Marvel Universe now. We know more about the Kree. We know about the Skrull. We've got a little bit of a wider understanding about how things are working in outer space. So at the end of the movie, I'm like, okay, I was fine. I was fine with it. I thought it was kind of a dull by the numbers. The direction is very basic. The action scenes are not that exciting, but there's a lot of pew-pewing, a lot of firing of ion blasts and everything else, or photon blasts. Nick Fury is funny, comedy relief. The cat, there's a cat in it. So in the comics, she had a cat, and the cat was named Chewie, and Chewie was a Flerken, and not quite a cat, but could do things. And so that cat is introduced into the film very randomly. So the cat, I guess, belonged to Mar-Vell and is around.
Yeah, it's named after the character in Top Gun, right?
Goose. Yeah, so renamed from Chewie to Goose. And Goose is great. Goose is great comedy relief. Goose is a fun character to have around. And, you know, every time he was on screen, it was like, you're like Nick Fury. He's like, oh, the kitty, you know, pet the kitty. And, you know, anyway, it was cute.
Apparently Brie Larson's allergic to cats, so it was like visual effects when she was in the same scene. With like an outfit.
Oh, well.
She can take something for that.
What?
She can take something for that.
Yeah, you can take allergy pills and stuff.
No one's going to make Brie Larson take allergy pills.
I am.
Yeah, so do I think that Brie Larson... I think Brie Larson is a very talented actress, and I think she does the best she can with the material here. And I think that, to me, this was, let's get this out of the way, let's throw all the stuff at the wall, see what sticks, and then we can move forward with this character in Endgame and into Phase 4 or 5 or whatever it is of the Marvel Universe, and when she takes more of a leadership role.
Okay. Can I talk now?
Yeah.
Thanks. Captain Marvel, let's start at the beginning. I think this film's a mess. I think they're trying to introduce us to, like, exactly, Kevin, 15 different things at the same time. I had a lot of fun.
It's not as bad as Green Lantern.
No, I found the editing the worst. The editing was driving me nuts. I'm like, this is bad. And I didn't find, like, the car chasing bored the crap out of me. I thought the blockbuster was very amusing. I like the way she could know technology and program phones and things like that, but I just, nothing about this film excited me. I thought the CGI was adequate, did a good job, looked nice, but Brie Larson does never emote to me enough. She never looks happy or sad, she just looks at the camera all the time.
I think she's really good.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think she emotes more than I was expecting.
Yeah, like, not enough.
That scene when she's talking with the friend and, like, she's crying, like, I thought that was
good. I thought the friend did a better job than she did in the film. I thought Jude Law shows me again why I like Jude Law. And what's up with Annette Bening? She looks really stiff with that makeup. The de-aging effect did not work for me in this film at all.
Oh, I thought it worked all right on Nick Fury.
I thought they looked stiff. It's just the faces weren't moving when they were talking. I could tell.
For Jackson, I couldn't really tell that his was de-aging, but for Clark Gregg, I could tell. It looked weird on Gregg.
It looked weird to me. For Annette Bening, it looked terrible.
I didn't really notice that they did it for Annette, except for like that she was Supreme Leader.
Yeah, I don't know. I think this film is full of explosions. I think it's good for little kids that don't notice mistakes like editing and set design. I thought set design was kind of dull at times. But I agree with Kevin. They just had to dump so much into this film and just move it along. Go, 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 go. They couldn't really stay on anything.
Right. So I think they tried to shortcut that a bit by having her past viewed as memories in the Skrull machines and stuff. There were lots of little shortcuts in there to try to make it a shorter movie. But I don't know. Again, I think what that comes down to, direction and editing.
Yeah.
I thought it was coherent. I really liked it. I liked how that we got in her mind space and learned about her past as she did, and I thought that kept things like emotionally interesting, and I felt rewarded. I feel like for an origin story, it's cool that she starts out with powers, and that was interesting. And I just like learning more like about her. Like honestly, I'm not that big on Black Widow, and I feel like I already know about Carol Danvers than Black Widow. Widow was one movie.
Widow, yes. I also had a big issue with the part near the end when they go to visit Talos' family, I think.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, I just don't care. Okay, he's got a family. That's great. See, I love that. See, they had slowed down so much for me. That it's me like, okay, I'm just waiting for somebody to show up and get to a fight with them. I'm just waiting for that. Like, this is,
well, okay. And Diesel.
Let's play pinball.
A family.
I actually thought that the Skrulls were very disappointing.
Yeah, see?
There's a lot that you could do with the Skrulls, and I don't think they did much with them.
Nothing.
And I think that I mean, I did like Ben Mendelsohn's Talos. I thought that he had a sense of humor, and he had a very strange timbre to his voice or way he pronounced things.
Yeah, he was fine.
He's using his own Australian accent.
Yeah, it was almost like he was, almost like he was a hick or something like that, that they were the hillbillies of the galaxy. And I like that you thought you were supposed to be my science guy.
Yeah, that was funny. I like that. That line that was great.
And I think there was also meant to be an analogy to immigration. That was a little heavy-handed, but it's fine. I don't care about that much. But with the Skrulls being okay and not they're not the villains as they have been in many Marvel comics. The Skrulls have tended to be villains.
Okay.
Here they're not. They're kind of lost. They're trying to survive. They've been villainized by the Kree. So when they say Kree Skrull War, there really isn't much of a war going on. It's basically the few Skrulls that have survived are trying to limp by in their existence. So we haven't reached a point where we have super Skrulls and other things that are going on that would pop into the Marvel Universe eventually.
I don't know the Skrulls and Adam. I don't know, like, Captain Marvel at all. So, like, going in, not knowing anything about these comics, like, I wasn't disappointed because, like, I don't know if this is ever one of my most anticipated. I was more intrigued how they're going to bring Captain Marvel, like, and make her an integral part of Endgame. And I was intrigued by that. And I think, if anything, like, I loved it. I really liked it. And it makes me more excited for Endgame. And for me, it did the job doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm saying, I'm interested. I want to know more. I want to see more.
Yeah.
I want Captain Marvel to have, now that she knows her past, understands her powers, she's been in space for 20 years now, so she should have a better grasp of who she is and what she's all about. So I think we should see a slightly different Captain Marvel in Endgame, and I'm kind of curious to see what that is like.
My main complaint is not enough McKenna Grace. I think she's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. McKenna Grace.
Ben Mendelsohn is great too.
Yeah, I think, as I said, I just see this as it had to happen. They did an okay job with it, enough to make it a watchable film. And will I revisit this one as much as I do other Marvel Universe films? I have no idea.
Oh, well,
how many
will,
times have
Kevin.
You seen Infinity War by now? Like 70?
Oh, something like that, yeah. A lot.
Okay.
So.
No, yeah, I mean, I'm probably going to watch all of them again before Endgame.
Oh, my God.
What do you think of the two end credit scenes?
Oh, the first one has me hyped, and then the second one with Goose was good, too.
I like both. I thought they worked. I mean, I wouldn't say the first one had me hyped. It kind of just made sense. It kind of had to be there to tie it in.
Uh-huh.
Like, to Endgame, and the fourth one, the Tesseract pack. Okay, I got it.
It's just exciting that it's a month away, Endgame.
I thought it was very strange where they put the pager in the room with the blue vials, which I assume are Kree blood.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, why would you? Is the Kree blood going to somehow amplify the signal, or is Fury got a little bit of Kree technology? It's like an amplifier or something like that. I don't know. And that kind of ties in with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. The one few things you see with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was that. It was the Kree blood that revived Coulson after he was killed in Avengers. So maybe we might see Coulson somehow. Although Coulson is, in theory, dead. He died in the snap, is what they basically confirmed. He was dying anyway, but he died in the snap.
Okay.
Although another version of Coulson is coming back for the new season.
Oh, I know. I'll watch it.
Uh-huh. Wait, did the snap carry over to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
It did.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's why Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is on hiatus, is because in the year of the snap, they didn't want to have it all be, like, if you had done Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this season, it would have been all about the snap. Like, how did society survive without all half the people? Okay. So it's easier for them to say, no, we don't want to address that because that'll be all addressed in Endgame. Let's just take the year off and come back after everything is resolved. Okay. And then go forward. All that they did say was that in fact, at the end, when he goes to Tahiti or wherever it is, and he dies, he actually dies in the snap.
Okay.
Yeah. But he was dying anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, but like, buddy cop aspect is really good for, with like Samuel Jackson and Brie Larson. I like that a lot too. Where'd Simon go?
I'm back.
He's back. Oh. All right.
Okay.
So let's, have we said enough on Captain Marvel?
We have.
I think so.
How long is that? It's a Marvel movie. It's an entertaining Marvel movie.
Yeah, let's go.
20 minutes.
Go, continue.
Okay, next one. Mary, Queen of Scots, starring Saoirse Ronan, Margot Robbie, Guy Pearce, David Tennant, and Gemma Chan.
I'll start. Kevin didn't see this, I don't think. So,
no.
This was boring as hell. Absolutely just plain boring. Okay, I got the storyline. The makeup on Margot Robbie was beyond bad.
It made her look ugly. That was the point.
And I think this whole film, like, I find it very drab, boring, uninteresting. Don't care.
I think that's a territory for most of these, though. Like, the period movies. They go through the motions. I mean, the acting's good. Writing is passable, I think.
I wouldn't even argue this writing is passable, barely. Okay.
I mean, there's a lot of scenes of David Tennant just being like, oh, she's a woman. I don't like women being on the throne. I think there's only two, like, scenes that I was, like, really, like, okay, like, this is good. Like, the one when the one guy got stabbed to death. And I love Saoirse Ronan. She wasn't in enough stuff last year. Margot Robbie was good. And I think what I was most disappointed by was that I didn't realize that Marco and Saoirse would only share the screen for one scene.
Yeah, really.
And that was the best scene in the movie. And it's in the last 20 minutes. So, I mean, if you want to just watch the last 20 minutes, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense because Mary was also a legitimate heir to the throne. So.
Yeah.
And there was talks of her, I don't know what's covered in the film or what isn't. And I guess Margot is Elizabeth?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and who is her sister. And is grooming herself to be the heir.
But her
sister, Mary, was originally going to inherit the throne. But then she dies. And Elizabeth takes over. But Mary, Queen of Scots, kind of said they were trying to groom her to be like almost like a rebellious leader.
She is in the movie. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We never meet the original Mary. No. Nope. Like, even the war scenes are like awkwardly filmed. There's like one that's. I mean, it's decent for history. Maybe it's not like anything to write home about. There's not much to say about it, I guess. Except for the performances are good. Makeup's pretty good. That's about it. You got anything to add, Simon?
No, I agree with everything you said. I hated this film. I don't know why you want me to say. I found it boring, drab. Pointless.
I didn't hate it, but it's kind of a slog.
You didn't bring up our favorite comment. Margot Robbie looks like Alice in Wonderland, the White Queen.
The Queen of Hearts?
The Queen of Hearts. That's how bad her makeup is. I thought this film was awkward all the time. I could barely stay awake during it. It was so boring.
Yeah, I mean, if you made Margot Robbie look ugly. Like, I think he did a good job with the makeup.
Yeah, I agree, but I just didn't like the film. I thought it was pointless. I thought it was supposed to be something better than it was, I guess.
Yeah, fair enough. And then, I mean, Guy Pearce is there advising, I guess.
I like Guy Pearce. He's fine.
I do too, but he's just there advising.
Anyway. Okay, moving along.
Happy Death Day to you. Starring Jessica Roth, Israel Broussard, Suraj Sharma, didn't really see anyone else. But he's the kid from Life of Pi, and he's barely aged.
True.
After 7 years. So he's the real time traveler.
He is. Go ahead.
Did you want to kick this one off, Kevin? Oh, no.
Kevin has seen it. I'm happy that
I haven't seen it.
Disappointing. It's the best thing. I love the first movie. I thought it was fun. Had some good jokes. It had a good mystery.
Spoil it? Have you seen the first one? Sorry, Simon.
No, I haven't, but I haven't watched it. But I you can spoil away. As I said, okay. I'm not too worried about that.
I'm not going to say anything about the first one.
She, every time she's murdered, she wakes up again and back at the start. It's like Groundhog Day.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this time, like, there's no slasher kill. Well, there's a few, but, like, basically, like, most of the time she dies, she's suiciding in creative ways. Sorry, Sam, are we going
to say? Well, I just want to say, you got it right. Like, the first one was a slasher, but it was good. I liked it.
Yeah.
This one's just, really... it kind of does touch on the first one a couple of times.
Yeah. To me, it feels like a remake of the original in the way that Evil Dead 2 feels like a remake of the Evil Dead.
Yeah.
And, like, just do over. And this time, she ends up in an alternate timeline. And in this timeline, her mom is there. So that's, like, an interesting part of the movie. But, yeah, like, this didn't do much for me. Like, I didn't like that it kind of shied away from slasher and... Like, because I love the concept of, like, a horror movie that's Groundhog Day in a time loop. But this time it's more sci-fi.
Yes.
And that was, like, jumping the genre, I don't think that really worked.
I'm a lot. That.
And the just the slashers. I mean, the different character dynamics from the people from the first one was interesting. But, like, how, like, the sorority girl was nice now, and then... The crazy one wasn't crazy, I liked the first one because I wasn't expecting much from the first one and it was a good surprise. But this one, it's disappointing. I just don't like what they really did with it.
They didn't do anything with it. That's my problem. It was boring, predictable. I'm like, okay, I get the concept. I wanted something interesting again.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, we got an unexpected hit, let's redo it. And that's really what they did. And they sort of put it science fiction-y with the science experiment stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I just thought it was kind of dumb.
And her having to memorize all the algorithms.
Yes.
And, I mean, she's still very charming. And is your Broussard
tree?
Spine?
Tree is charming.
Yeah, Tree. I like Tree. Yeah.
Tree's okay.
But yeah, like the slasher aspect of it, it was not good this time.
Well, couldn't they tell us why they named their kid Tree? I'm still trying to figure that one out.
For the environment.
Yes. It made no sense.
You know what? A baby is like a seed to plant a tree. Yes. Why don't we name her Tree? Yes.
What? Okay.
I mean, I guess it's memorable.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move along.
Okay. Isn't it romantic?
Yeah. Where is Bob? This is his movie. All 100%. He loved it.
Starring Rebel Wilson, Adam Devine.
Yes.
Liam Hemsworth, Priyanka Chopra.
Yep.
Betty Gilpin and Jennifer Saunders.
Yes.
When was she?
Well, I was trying to figure that out where Jennifer Saunders was because I don't think I remember seeing her.
What the heck? One sec. Jennifer Saunders.
I don't know who she is, but I didn't see her.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to start this one off because this really bugged me. Kevin, This film annoys me.
Oh, she was Rebel Wilson's mom at the very beginning.
Oh, that's why. This film just bugs me. It tries so hard to say it's not a romantic comedy, but it actually is a romantic comedy. And the problem is Rebel Wilson as a lead is terrible. She's not funny. Nothing
I've never found Rebel Wilson funny.
She's not funny. they put her in situations and she just mocks them, and they continue to do it, and they play the most annoying soundtrack over and over and over again. Barry, her secretary, Betty Gilpin, is flat, does nothing. Liam Helmers is terrible. Absolutely terrible. And I'm sitting there, and Priyanka Chopra could not act her way out of a school, high school play if she needed to. She is awful. The whole part of this movie needs to be trashed. That for Adam Devine is the only thing that kept this film above a one rating for me. He was so good in it. Every film I see of him, I like him. He can act. He's good. He gets it.
Wait, even Game Over Man?
Yeah, I like him. He's good. He knows how to act. Everybody else here is horrible trash. And then that stupid dance numbers that keep happening. Oh, I guess we should have a dance number. Like, oh, here we go.
Wait, Adam Devine, the guy from
Pitch Perfect and Etsy? Or no, not you, Gout.
No, Mike and Dave on. Need Wedding Dates.
Yes, I like him. I do like him.
I watched that Netflix movie that he was in. He's terrible.
Well, he's good.
Which one? When you first met or Game Over Man?
No, I don't know, whatever it is. The one where it's like Die Hard and a
Game Over Man.
That was so awful.
That's a bad movie.
I like him, though. I do like him in this film. I think he gets it. He's perfect for it.
All right, so this wasn't a bad movie. I enjoyed it. I think you missed the point a bit, Simon.
It's mocking romantic comedies? No, I didn't miss that. She pounds that in my head continuously.
No, okay, you just didn't mention it, so it was, yeah, I mean, I thought it was good in the way that there's so many horror satires, and then this one's a romantic, hey, this is my opinion, this one's a romantic comedy satire, and I thought that was interesting. And it has the same, basically the same thing that I Feel Pretty was trying to say, that feel good in your own skin, and it does it about 10 times better.
Yeah, and I hated I Feel Pretty, so there you go.
Yeah,
And she's got to figure that out to get out of this? Oh, you're so dumb.
I mean, it's like only a 6 for me. I didn't love it.
I gave it a 3.
Okay. I liked it enough. I can't remember. I mean, I think I laughed a couple times. No. I can't remember when.
I did like the karaoke scene. I'll give that full credit. That was solid.
And I don't know why they keep trying to make Rebel Wilson happen. Because, like, in Pitch Perfect 3, they gave her, like, that action storyline and be like, hey, maybe Rebel will be an action star after this. But I think just in the way that they casted her was just, like, yeah, so she's not the traditional person starring in a romantic comedy like this. So that's why she's there.
Yeah, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work at her as a lead. She's not a leading actress. Nobody in this film should be ever in a film again, except for Adam, as far as I'm concerned. They can all just retire.
Wait, and Priyanka Chopra annoys me. Adam's terrible. Good. I like the, like, the bit at the end. Like all I see is you, I guess, but I don't know. I mean, it's fine. It's fine. It's not a great movie. It's not a bad movie, I don't think.
Yeah, well... No.
I'm not passionate about it.
So. Oh, that's good to hear.
I mean, I think Bob is, but...
Probably is, but Bob's not here. He chose to do other things.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the musical number at the end was kind of like, they're singing, all right.
Again.
I don't know.
And Liam Helmsworth trying to sing, that was painful. Same with Priyanka Chopra. Oh.
Oh, and they all tried to sing in that,
That was rough.
I think the funniest part about this movie was, like, near the beginning when the hot dog thing goes down the street, and he's like, oh, you built like a Spence truck. Thank you.
Oh, terrible.
I don't know. Okay.
Terrible. Making fat jokes, fat shaming, not okay.
No. I don't know. But I think they're aware of it, I guess.
I guess so. She went for it. Okay, yeah. Prodigy.
The Prodigy, starring Taylor Schilling, Jackson Robert Scott, Peter Mooney, who basically looks like Chris Evans, like a C-list BF, Chris Evans, and Com Fior. Do you want to start again, or do you want me to?
Your lead.
Okay. man. I was kind of like, because basically, Taylor Schilling is this mom who has this new kid, Jackson Robert Scott. Forget what the kid's name is, but he's Georgie from It, the new It.
Miles, I think.
Okay, thank you. See, so you haven't even seen it and you remember.
I'm looking at the synopsis.
Oh, okay, thank you. Yeah, and it's really weird. So basically, when it opens, I thought I was in the wrong movie theater. Because there's this woman running away from, like, a serial killer. And it starts out with him dying and then the kid being born. So it's a weird reincarnation thing that's more like The Omen than Orphan, and like a possession movie than Orphan, or like other, oh, my kid's crazy movies, which, like, I was expecting a kid is crazy movie. So I guess in a way that it's different in that way. So that's decent. But a lot of this was really, really silly. Like, the face, like, there's this one part where the kid turns around and his face is the old guy's face and it looks like a bad Snapchat filter. Like, it was some of the funniest stuff I've seen. And, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's just, I mean, it's fine for a creepy kid formula, but a lot of it doesn't work. And I don't know. Well, I mean, it's not terrible, but it's silly. A lot of very silly parts.
It's got some problems. Let's discuss. Taylor Schilling cannot act. Never can act. Pretty evident.
I think she's serviceable in the My Kid's Crazy Mother role. And then B-list Chris Evans is in the, oh, no, he's not crazy. You're crazy.
I like the kid. I thought the kid, Georgie, did a great job. I thought Georgie was the best part of the film.
I kind of wanted him to age, I kind of wanted to age past him at times, but I think in the way that he plays, like, he has to get in the mindset that you're the serial killer pretending to be a kid.
Yeah, but it's just the way they do things.
Like, innocence, I think that works.
Remember when the guy's driving the car and Georgie stops him? And you're just waiting. The music starts. You're like, okay, when's Georgie going to stop him? Like, you're just, I find the film tells you when things are going to happen. Okay, get
ready.
Do
you want it?
Something's going to happen. Do you want it? It's going to come. I'm going to do this. And when he's talking to the psychologist, same thing. Well, this is what I'm going to say. Oh, well, you're going to say that? Well, let's flash to Georgie because we know something's going to happen with him. So let's do it.
Like about the pubes and the teeth, that was weird. But, like, I thought that was, like, okay, like, could we get more scenes like this that are just kind of disturbing?
That was disturbing. I will give that full credit. But nothing else in the film is disturbing. I did like the end.
I thought the third act was a mess. Why are you giving the series, like, it's like, oh, so you need to find peace because your victim ran away from you. Okay, I'm going to take you right to her.
Yeah.
So I can get my kid back.
Why?
You're delusional.
That was never going to happen. Like, that was your plan? Like, I thought there might be an exorcism or something. I kind of could see that happening. I'm like, okay, I'll go that way.
Wait, Taylor Schilling, so you're literally doing the one thing that he wants you to do because he's an 8-year-old kid and he can't go two states over to go kill this person?
Yeah.
And you're literally doing it. Dude, that was brutal.
It was awful. I was like, okay.
And then him just like, oh, like a new, like the new foster mom. I'm like, oh, I'm going to steal that hand. That's mine.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know.
It was weird.
It's like a 4. It's not a good movie. I mean, I think there was components that could have made it, but I think just the reincarnation thing made it too weird.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Bizarre.
With you. It's a little weird. Okay.
And just, the premise is interesting, but it just didn't work. Anyway, okay, so I'm going to meet you guys for this one, but Suspiria, Chloe Grace Moretz, so the 2018 one, Chloe Grace Moretz, Tilda Swinton, and, like, so many roles, Dakota Johnson, and Mia Goth. I don't know if there's anyone else of note in this.
Nope.
Okay.
Kevin, you're up.
Here, you start.
I didn't know how to take this film because I'd never seen the original, so I didn't know what I was getting into. And it starts off.
The original is about witches in a dance academy in Germany.
Well, that's pretty much what this one's about.
And then there's murders, and there's a girl that comes in, and stuff happens, and yeah.
Well, this one, I thought the beginning was kind of interesting. I'm like, okay, where's this film going? They do a track. I really love the way they shot it. I think it was more a reimagining than a remake from what I've read. And
it's not, to me, I didn't find it to be that different. I mean, it was somewhat visually different, but for the most part, the setting is kind of interesting with set design and so forth. It's very similar there.
I like the dance routines. You could tell that it wasn't Dakota Johnson dancing because they would focus really in. You never really saw her face a lot on that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the horror was really good. I liked the breaking of the bones and stuff and the girls being ripped apart. It really did stuff for me. I didn't really get the old man storyline until the end. Maybe I'm not supposed to until the very end. Well, how he
did you catch that was Tilda Swinton?
No.
Yeah, the old man was Tilda
Swinton. I know, I read that. I'm like, really? No idea. Did not see that at all. Mm-hmm. The dance number I thought was good. I loved the end of the movie. I thought it was insane. When the Coven of Witches and they dance and they take out Tilda Swinton, I thought that was really good.
Yeah.
So overall, I mean, I don't know what to really say about this film. I mean, you kind of just got to watch it. I thought it was intense. I liked the structure. I liked the pacing. I really enjoyed it.
To me, Suspiria is very much like, in both incarnations, it's very much like the Wicker Man. And I mean the original Wicker Man, not the remake shitty Wicker Man with Nicolas Cage. The one, it's basically the premise is that evil exists. And things that we don't understand and interpret as evil, they exist and they endure. And in this case, it was the Witch's Coven. So, the twist, and I think in this version, is that the Dakota Johnson character is in fact groomed to do what she does.
Yes, I agree.
But, there's no sense of that. In the original, it's the girl from the Phantom of the Paradise,
which we still have to see.
You haven't seen Phantom of the Paradise?
No, it's been on our list forever to do. It's coming.
Oh my god, love that movie. See, talk about. I wondered what happened with some of these movies. Anyway, so I hated this movie. I didn't like it. It's disturbing. And maybe that's why it's good. But some of it really put me off. The whole thing with the girl trying to do the same dance, and it's literally destroying her. Why would you continue doing that?
Well, I don't think she knows it's destroying her.
Really?
The first time, I don't think she does. Second time, I think she does. I like
I don't mean Dakota. I mean Chloe Sevigny. She's pissed off that Dakota is going to take her spot as the leader of the troop. So she goes and privately practices the dance. But in doing it, it does what it's done to everybody else. And it deforms them and destroys them, kills them.
Yes.
And they end up having to dispose of the body.
I thought that was kind of cool. I liked the disposing of the body.
Yeah.
With the meat hooks and throwing it off the brick. I just liked the film. I thought it was
thoroughly disturbing.
Yeah, and I like that about it. I got to give it credit. It did disturb me. I'm like, okay, it did its job. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess, I don't know why she does it. She just does it because she wants to do it. I don't know.
But it doesn't make sense to me that a human being would endure that much pain and torture.
Good point.
As soon as it started happening. Unless she said they're not aware that it's happening to them.
Well, that's what I was thinking at the time, so maybe I'm wrong.
So then we get the sense that and I think in the original Suspiria, it's the same thing. There's an old witch who's hundreds of years old who's been hiding in the back.
Yes.
Okay, and I think that's there. And so, but what is interesting is that Tilda Swinton's character, who has groomed this girl to do this, to be the body that replaces the witch. So it's like they're dancing incantations. And when they dance on the pentagram and so forth, I thought that was very odd and a little bit too obvious that they'd be dancing on the pentagram. Why do they need an audience for that? And then the Tilda kind of regrets it. She doesn't want her to be the vessel for the Witch Queen, her teacher. And so they kill her for it.
Correct.
So I thought that was very weird. You know, in the little bit, and when she goes to the, they let the guy live.
Yeah.
You know, and the weirdness where they've captured police officers and they're playing with their junk and laughing at them and stuff like that. That was weird. It's that sort of level of, I don't understand this. I don't know if I want to understand this. It's just too alien to me.
I don't think we're supposed to understand it. I think it's just supposed to be theater of the absurd. Right.
And then it turns into a bloodbath.
Yeah, which I loved. Okay.
Which I thought was very strangely shot with the bizarre shaky cameras and the blood splurts and all that stuff.
But I think it was supposed to be theater of the absurd. It was supposed to be like that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think it's just one of these films where you're going to love it or hate it. I don't think there's a middle of this. Maybe it was okay. No, I think either you're into it or you hate it. And I totally get that.
Production design, great.
Yes.
Everything else, hate.
Okay, fair enough. I liked it. So, each is all right.
So, I was Daniel Beckin.
Just one question. Like the pacing that, and like Call Me By Your Name, like Lucas, like takes so long to get into it. Is that similar for this?
No, I didn't like Call You By Your Name at all. I got it. Yeah, I could say that. I said it's got similar pacing. Sure, I'd give that to it.
Okay, dang. Because it took, like, so long to get into that.
Well, this is a 2-hour, 30-minute movie, so it takes a long time.
It's like,
Call Me By My Name was the Army Hammer movie, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Timothy, yeah.
And I thought it was beautifully shot, but I didn't care at all for any of the characters.
I didn't like the first hour, and I was like, okay, can they just have sex already?
No, I thought the locations were the thing in the first hour. The shots around wherever they were in Italy. It was just beautiful. But that movie didn't do anything for me.
No, like, the second half was good. But first half didn't do anything.
Except when he's talking to his father, and the father's like, you'll get over it.
Yeah, the monologue, that was great.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, High Flying Bird. On Netflix film. Sorry, Kevin, have you seen this?
No, I haven't. What is it? Is it about basketball?
Yeah, it's like NBA lockout. Simon, did you watch it?
I did.
Okay, sorry. I thought you said what?
Well, no, because we didn't have it on our show notes is going on. So I'm like, okay, no problem. I did watch it.
Oh, so, yes, sir. I thought it was on the list. So you just want to skip that one? Go to check.
No, I've seen it. Do it.
Get it over with.
High Flying Bird, starring Andre Holland, Phil Duke, Zazie Beetz, Kyle MacLachlan, Melvin Gregg, Zachary Quinto, Sonja Shaw, and like real life basketball players. I think Carl Anthony Towns was in it.
They are real life basketball players for sure. They are.
Do you want to kick this one off?
I hated it. Absolutely thought this. I liked the use of the phone, how to shoot the shots, the lighting. I kind of like that kind of stuff. But I found this film absolutely boring. I had no interest in the characters. I had no interest by the end. I just didn't care. I was just stopped paying attention after a while.
Okay.
Did you like this at all?
About the iPhone. I thought it was a weird way to shoot it. Like this type of movie, just like with some of the tracking shots. It's like, all right, that's kind of weird for a sports drama. If I liked it. So basically, when Andre Holland starts talking to the kids about his cousin and how he lost the love of the game, that's when I started like, okay, this is actually kind of good. And then to the scene with him and Kyle MacLachlan in the sauna, that's like that bookend of like 35 minutes into the film to about 1 hour 10, I really like that part. But the beginning, boring as fuck.
No, I never recovered after the beginning.
And then the ending didn't really make sense to me. And also, I don't really get the politics of it.
Oh, I did, actually. I understood the politics. I just didn't care. I mean, I do watch. You should know sports. You got it.
No, I love sports. But It's weird that it's a basketball movie without basketball, but I guess that makes sense because
it was about
the lockout. Yeah. But I thought it was interesting that Soderbergh like was like, oh yeah, there's that one scene where it's like, okay, we're actually gonna get some basketball in, and then he's like, nope. But it makes sense that it's like, all right, so many people have to hear about it at the water cooler. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, well, how they show it through text and stuff and talking. Yeah, I just didn't like it.
And then it's like meta, like, oh, Netflix was going to give us a contract to, like, live cast Streetball kind of thing. And I thought that was interesting. Like, I understood the politics of that, but, like, just I don't really get the business of it. But, like, I think if you, like, if you watch the show Ballers with Dwayne Johnson.
Never
and, did. Like, and if you like the business of that, I think this might be a decent movie to watch. But, like, I was talking to my brother, and he likes Ballers, and he saw this, and he liked it because he stuck through it, but he fell asleep the first time he watched it.
Oh, good. So it wasn't just I could barely stay awake during it.
And that's relatable, I think.
Like, I was watching, like, 3 in the afternoon. I'm like, oh, my God, is this movie still on?
I mean, I stay awake even when I was watching it at, like, midnight. But, like, the first 30 minutes were like, okay, this – hopefully it gets better. Because I was just texting him, like, does this get better?
No,
and he's like, yeah, if he's
– No.
Like, I thought the only scene that I was like, okay, this is really good. I'm feeling emotionally connected was him talking about Gavin, like the cousin. Okay. Yeah. And I thought the Bill Duke slavery thing was kind of funny.
What was that? That was so random thrown in there.
I don't know. Yeah. I think it is because like before the NBA, there was a Black Athlete Association and then they went to the NBA for the money. So I think that was a whole storyline. But like, Myra, like the Players Association rep, like saying like when he wanted her to say, he's like, I'd love if I'll get the fuck out of my office. Like there was some funny parts, but a lot of like, a lot of it's boring. Some of it's decent.
Terrible. I hated it. That's all I have to say. No,
fair
watch
enough,
it. Last right, film of the day. Open the vault, Kevin.
Oh, look, there's a corpse.
Hey, it's, intern, is that
it's
you?
It's the intern.
We found him.
And then he, at this point, he would do his Crypt Keeper voice, like, hello.
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 Hello, I'm babysitting.
Would you like some cheese?
Would you like to go see Medea?
We haven't opened the vault in so long. Okay.
It's green. Just scrape off the green.
Green. It tastes good. Do it.
Just take off the rotten parts.
All right.
The Jacob's Ladder, starring Tim Robbins. I'm not denying you. Starring Tim Robbins, Elizabeth Pena, Danny Elio, Matt Craven, Pruitt Taylor Vince, Ben Rames, and Jason Alexander for a hot.
This from 1990. That's it.
Yeah, because it came out literally came out two weeks. Oh, Macaulay Culkin's also in it, so it came out 2 weeks before Home Alone. So
interesting. If I would have thought it was older than that.
Want to see Home Alone and then see this scary shit? That'll be fun.
Nice. So yeah, this was recommended to me by a friend, a new friend.
Oh, good. Glad you have friends.
I don't know. Maybe. So she said it was her favorite movie. And I'm like,
okay.
That's interesting because I don't know if I've ever watched it. Somehow it escaped. I remember when it came out, and I just never did watch it. How are we doing for time there, boss?
You got 8 minutes.
All right. Anyway, so Jacob, it's very meta. He's a guy. He's a former Vietnam guy who is trying to live his life in New York City. But stuff keeps happening. He keeps seeing demons and stuff. And then something will happen, and then he'll wake up, and he'll be with his ex-wife and his kid.
Yeah.
And so, which is like almost like an alternate reality. And then something will happen, and then he'll be back with this girl again. Either way, he's a mail carrier. One, he's a mail carrier, another, he's a doctor or something like that. Like, it just seems to move through different versions of reality. And then also go back to whatever happened to them in Vietnam. So in Vietnam, something happened. They were all having dinner, hanging out. Then they go crazy, and they start killing each other.
Yep.
And then he survived with his bowels hanging. Like you said, someone had gutted him. His bowels were hanging out. And so, or disemboweled. And so he survives, and he goes back to America. But it keeps flashing back to that sequence, and then finally we reach a point where he is back in his old apartment. There's nobody around. He sees his son, who he thought was dead, and he's called upstairs, and he goes up the stairs, and then we go back in time, and it's Vietnam, and he actually died in Vietnam.
Yeah.
So yeah. What this was his fever dreams as he was dying from this, and he learns about what happened too. He's told by an informant that what happened to them in Vietnam was a government program of testing drugs on their own troops to see how they'd react to certain chemicals, and it turned them psychotic, and they turned on each other, and everybody was slaughtered.
Correct.
Yeah. And there were no survivors.
Correct.
Yeah, the dad from Disturbia.
So the whole thing is essentially that he is in, he's either having fever dreams as he's dying, or he actually is in purgatory or hell. And he has to go through these things, and that there are demons, and then there are also beings like Danny Aiello, his massage therapist, who are trying to get them to be better people so they can transcend to heaven.
Correct.
Yeah. Because if you're good with your past, it'll be like angels bring your spirit.
So I guess he's freed by his son, who takes him up to heaven at the end.
Correct. You got it. You're good. You got it, Kevin. Yeah. You got the whole movie.
So it's very meta, and it was very bizarre, and very reminded me at certain parts of Inception, as you go through layers of reality of things. Very ahead of its time.
I agree.
It's very much what's real and what's not. And I think I thought it was really, it's good in the way that it's complex, but it's easy enough to follow, but not so easy enough to follow that it's super predictable, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought Tim Robbins is great as Jacob, and I always forget how tall he is until
he's massive.
The 6'4" monster stands beside like a 5'2" Elizabeth Pena.
I love and Elizabeth then, Pena in this
and film. Like even his fight with Jason Alexander, like the courthouse, they had to put Jason on the stairs to look like they could match levels.
Yeah. Yes, it was funny seeing Costanza in there.
Yeah, because I noticed his name in the credits, and I was like, wait, when's Costanza coming? Can I get me some Costanza?
Costanza, can't stand ya.
I think you guys got to give Elizabeth Pena a lot of credit. She does a lot of heavy lifting in the film.
Yeah.
And I think she does a great job as her character. I think she does really good. I thought the scenes could have been a little bit more narrative, explain a little bit more what's going on at times, or maybe the film doesn't want us to do that and figure it out for ourselves at the end.
No, yeah, I think, yeah.
And what was that car scene? You know when they pick him up and throw him in the car? And he escapes?
And he gets robbed by Santa Claus.
And he gets robbed by Santa Claus? I was kind of like, what's going on here? Like,
poor soul. I mean, yank your wallet.
And then Elizabeth Pena finds... So is Elizabeth Pena just in the fiction of his imagination?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because that's what I thought. I was kind of confused. Like, does she exist? So this whole thing's a fever dream. So there's three different versions of him then? Or it's the same version?
Before Vietnam, he studied to get a PhD. And then in this world, he's a PhD guy, but he's working at a mail.
Yeah, so he's delivering the mail.
Mail deliver. So he's Simon.
Yeah, so it's what it is it's like alternate futures, right? So yeah.
Okay.
So in one future, it's sort of takes off from his own memories because he went off to war and he had a son. Okay, so and what happens is the son has died in an accident and he's living in New York and it's one set of memories.
Yes.
And then the other set of memories is it's years later and because the son died, he's now living with this other woman.
Yes.
Who's a co-worker at the post office where he's working.
Oh, yes.
Because he's traumatized by Vietnam and by the loss of his son.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's like he won't let go, so he's creating a reality for himself. And around the edges, if you question that reality, you get taken away by demons.
Correct.
And punished.
Okay, so I did get it. Okay, I'm good. I did get the film.
It's like purgatory. If you can't accept your past, you're going to continue living in this deluded world.
Yeah.
Where things are painful and things don't work out the way they should.
And it really, like, the world building is good because some of it's really disturbing. Like, the even, like, in the, when he's trapped in the subway with the, like, the water on the lights. And especially, like, that famous, like, the head-moving guy, the executioner. That was spooky.
Okay. So before we wrap up, I have one question. Kevin, did you tell your friend we all like this movie, or you don't know yet? You're going to tell this person later.
No, I let her know that I liked it. I said, thanks for the referral. I mean, it's not – it was a question of, like, what's your favorite movie? And this was hers, and I thought, okay, that's cool. I don't think it's my favorite movie.
No.
I think it's a good movie, though.
Yeah, it's been on my watch list for a while, so I'm glad I finally saw it.
So I didn't connect with it on a whatever level. Okay.
Okay.
Jaws remains my favorite movie.
The Jaws is a great film. Okay, guys, I apologize. We have to run a little bit shorter because I have to go. So thank you. If they make it.
Re-review it.
Okay.
You may just watch it.
Goodbye, guys.
All right, bye, Simon.
Hey, thank you for listening. Could you please give us an iTunes review? And also, if you'd like to donate, please do so at our homepage.